Hello again. This Thursday is Thanksgiving. And when I think about Thanksgiving, I generally think about things in threes. Because, hey, you know, preachers think about things in threes. So I think of family and food and football. You know, I know some people that are more thankful for football than anything else on Thanksgiving Day, even for the food and for their family. Of course, I know football might be kind of hard to come by this year. It's still going to happen. Some cardboard cutouts in the stands, maybe some artificial cheering, but it's all good, right? It's still football. Football is life to a lot of people. And so they give thanks for football this Thanksgiving. And of course, for whatever stuff that they might happen to have. And for the most part, well, that's pretty much the world's perspective of Thanksgiving. It's a traditional day of being thankful for the stuff we have, especially football. But biblical Thanksgiving is more than setting aside one day a year to be thankful. Turn with me now over to the book of Acts. And let's start with a look at chapter 8 from the book of Acts. And in our text, we see the evangelist Philip teaching the Ethiopian eunuch the gospel and baptizing him into Christ. We're going to read verses 36 through 39 of Acts chapter 8. There the Bible says that as they traveled along the road, they came to some water, and the eunuch said, "Look, here is water. Why shouldn't I be baptized?" And he gave orders to stop the chariot. Then both Philip and the eunuch went down into the water, and Philip baptized him. When they came up out of the water, the Spirit of the Lord suddenly took Philip away, and the eunuch did not see him again, but went on his way rejoicing. Now, while this passage shows us the conversion of the Ethiopian eunuch, what I want us to notice is the last thing that we read in this passage. Think about it. Now saved, the eunuch went on his way rejoicing. And that's not just a one-time, yippee, I'm saved, woo. You know, he got back into his chariot, and he was excited about the gospel. As a matter of fact, after he was saved, he just went on his way rejoicing, and he continued all the way down to Ethiopia, because it's our understanding that he is one of the first to bring the gospel to Ethiopia. Think about it. You know, he was so thankful in his newfound salvation that it simply could not be contained. And so he just radiated the joy of the Lord in his life as he continued to live out a life of thanksgiving. And this is the difference. This is the difference between a one-time thanks and what we are calling thanks living today. And that's because Thanksgiving is not a one-time, one-day event. Instead, it's a lifetime of daily thanks living to God. So, what does that look like in our regular day-to-day life? Just what is thanksgiving? Well, thanksgiving is a daily verbal expression of gratitude. It's actually saying the words of thanksgiving and praise to God. Take a look over at Psalm 118 in verses 1 through 3. There the writer of the psalm proclaims this: "Give thanks to the Lord, for he is good. His love endures forever. Let Israel say, his love endures forever. Let the house of Aaron say, his love endures forever. Let those who fear the Lord say, his love endures forever." And so, all who acknowledge the Lord as God give thanks to him. His love endures forever. Notice the frequent repetition of the word say. We are to say these words out loud, you know? And while it is, of course, definitely good to give thanks and praise to the Lord, again, we're not just talking about a once a year thing or whenever we assemble thing, but all of the time. Let me put it this way. Have you ever heard of anyone who is trying to avoid using the Lord's name in vain say something like, "Thank goodness"? Now, to be fair, "thank goodness" might be appropriate at times. But if you mean "thank God," then thank God. And and not goodness, because goodness has nothing to do with it. Over in Titus, in chapter 1, the Apostle Paul writes to Titus in Titus 1:16, talking about those who were teaching bad doctrine. And he tells them this. He tells Titus, they claim to know God, but by their actions they deny him. You know, there are a lot of people claiming to know God, but their actions don't match up to their professed beliefs. That said, if we claim to love and worship God, it should come across verbally to the Lord and to those around us in a daily verbal expression of gratitude. Thanks living is also loving my neighbor. Now, we can quote Jesus, quoting Leviticus, and simply say, love your neighbor as yourself. And while that's true, we want to do more. We want to do more than that. We want to see what that looks like. Fortunately, Jesus knows that's important. And so in Luke's gospel account, he records Jesus sharing the parable of the Good Samaritan right after Jesus tells us the importance of loving our neighbor. And so what does that look like? Well, in verse 34, we're told that the Samaritan went to this mugged man and bandaged his wounds, pouring on oil and wine. Then he put the man on his own donkey and took him to an inn and took care of him. Think about it. You know, if we are really thankful for the love that was shown to us by Jesus going to the cross, then we show the same kind of love to our neighbors, a love that loves the sinner, that loves the lost. And in doing that, we're living out our thanks through our loving actions. Remember, love does no harm to its neighbor. Therefore, love is the fulfillment of the law. That's Romans chapter 13 and verse 10. And so again, thanks living is loving my neighbor. Thanks living is also being found daily in his word. Can you remember back to when you got a love letter from someone you felt passionately about? Do you remember reading it over and over and over again, just trying to hear the words of your lover and the words that they wrote? You know, we need to do that with God's word. Think about it. If we are truly thankful for all that God has done for us, then we'll want to know him more. And the primary way that we get to know God is through his word. In Psalm 119 and verse 105, the psalmist has this to say about God's word. Your word, the psalmist writes, is a lamp to my feet and a light for my path. The point is, we need to look to God's word every day so that we can know the right things to do and say in our day-to-day life. For everything that was written in the past was written to teach us, so that through endurance and the encouragement of the scriptures, we might have hope. And that's what the Apostle Paul wrote to the Romans in Romans chapter 15 and verse 4. And that hope, of course, is found in his word. And that hope is the hope that saves our souls. And for that, we should be thankful, thankfully rejoicing, and be found daily in his word. Thanks living is also being in daily communion with God. Now, when I say the word communion, I don't mean the bread and the cup of the Lord's Supper. I mean communion as in communication. Colossians chapter 4 and verse 2 tells us that as Christians, we are to devote ourselves to prayer, being watchful and thankful. Now, that word devote means to continually attend to something. And in this case, that something is prayer. Again, you know, just think back to the time when you just couldn't help but call a close friend or someone that you loved. You know, you would just talk to them for hours and hours and hours on the phone. Or maybe it was for, I don't know, just a few minutes a day, and you would call them dozens of times throughout the day. Of course, today, I guess maybe people are just doing that with texting or messaging all throughout the day. But the point is, you know, that when we really care for someone, we're almost always in constant contact with them. That's what it means to pray continually. to always talk to God, you see. You know, it seems to me that if we're really thankful for what God has done for us, then we would tell God that more times throughout the day. Again, thanksgiving is being in daily communion with God. Thanksgiving is also living a life apart from sin. In other words, it's letting your behavior say, "Thank you, Lord." Over in Romans chapter 6, we're reminded that if we are baptized into Christ, then we died to sin, so how can we live in it any longer? Think about it. You know, as Christians, we have made the decision to leave our life of sin behind and to do our best to live our lives in such a way that's pleasing to God. That's why down a little further in Romans chapter 6, in verse 13, we're encouraged to not offer the parts of your body to sin as instruments of wickedness, but rather offer yourselves to God as those who have been brought from death to life, and offer the parts of your body to him as instruments of righteousness. Just think about it in the terms of our relationships again. If we're married to someone, you know, then that means that by our marriage, we've declared to the world that we are dedicated to our spouse, that we love them and that we're dedicated to our spouse. And in becoming a Christian, we've declared to the world again our loving dedication to God, that we're dedicated to him, that we love him, you know? And so whenever we choose sin over God, we're telling God that we love sin more than we love God. And that's no way to thank God for sending his one and only son to die on the cross for you and me. The point is that as Christians, we should turn from evil and do good and seek peace and pursue it. That's 1 Peter chapter 3 and verse 11. And you know, when we do that, when we live our lives apart from sin, then we are showing our thankfulness to God. Thanksgiving is also faithfulness to the assembly. And, you know, we want to be faithful to the assembly because it's where Jesus' church is. Because the church is Jesus' body, right? You know, remember that Jesus built his church for you and me. He says that over in Matthew 16 and verse 18. And so we gather together on the first day of the week, just like the early Christians did. Acts 20 and verse 7. Just imagine maybe if someone built your dream house. And of course, my dream house might be not the same as your dream house. My dream house has the right number of bedrooms and bathrooms. Gotta have the right number of bathrooms. It's hard to have one bathroom and four or five people living in your house. Maybe a bathroom for everybody. That'd be kind of nice. Anyway, it's got a game room. Old arcade stuff, you know, all that stuff like that. A computer room, a swimming pool, an indoor theater, you know. And, you know, I don't know, everything that you could ever want in your dream house. Someone built that for you. No expense was spared. Only the best of the best was put into this custom-built house just for you. And so with all kinds of excitement, you know, you move into your new house, ready to take advantage of all that was made for you. But after a few weeks, you decide to, I don't know, stay at someone else's house, you know, and maybe just kind of sleep on the floor. As a matter of fact, it's not even a house that you're staying at. You know, it's more like a one-room shack with no plumbing or electricity. Now, why? Why in the world would someone choose a lowly one-room dump over a custom-built house just for you? Think about it. People do that all the time when they decide to not assemble on the Lord's Day with his church. Now, I know that COVID-19 has made this next to impossible for some of us to actually get together physically. But here we are, assembling together, not in person, but online. And I know it's not the same thing. But if you're here now watching this with me, you're watching it with others, we're watching it together as the family of God. That's still being faithful to the assembly. Remember, Hebrews 10:25 tells us to not give up meeting together, as some are in the habit of doing, but let us encourage one another all the more as you see the day approaching. Now, of course, when we say that, understand that we're talking about more than just showing up at a church building one day a week on Sundays, right? No, we're talking about a faithfulness to the assembly of God's people when it comes to all things, like giving and praying and encouraging and studying His Word and sharing our faith and so much more. It's living our thanks out to God by faithfully assembling, supporting, and loving and working with our brothers and sisters in Christ. And that brings us up to our next point this morning, and that is that thanks living is loving and caring for each other. Loving and caring for each other. Back in John chapter 13, when Jesus knew that the time had come for him to leave this world and to go to the Father, having loved his own who were in the world, he now showed them the full extent of his love. And so Jesus washed his disciples' feet. And he did it to show them that they were supposed to love and serve one another. Verses 14 and 15 of John chapter 13 says that, you know, and they were to not consider themselves better than one another. Instead, they were to humbly love one another just like Jesus loved each of them. Verses 34 and 35. And practically, loving and caring for each other happens when we pray for each other and when we encourage each other with the talk of Christ's coming and by helping to meet each other's needs whenever it's possible. John says it this way over in 1 John chapter 3 and verses 17 and 18. John writes this, he says, "If anyone has material possessions and sees his brother in need but has no pity on him, how can the love of God be in him? Dear children, let us not love with words or tongue, but with actions and in truth." And so, thanks living is loving and caring for each other. Thanks living is also talking to others about Jesus. You know, if you ever want to find out what someone likes the most, just talk to them. People simply love to talk about whatever it is that they really love. You know, I don't know, it could be their pets, their dog, their cat, their hamster, their ferret, whatever it is, I don't know. Their kids, their spouse, their car, sports, their work, I don't know, a TV show, whatever. And, you know, that makes me kind of wonder how many of us catch ourselves talking to others about everything under the sun except for Jesus. You know, just before Jesus ascended to the Father, he gave the disciples the command to go and make disciples of all nations, baptizing them in the name of the Father and of the Son and of the Holy Spirit, and teaching them to obey everything I've commanded you. And surely I am with you always to the very end of the age. And there are many, many Christians who take the Great Commission very, very seriously. Think back to Philip and the Ethiopian eunuch that we talked about earlier. You know, but there are others. There are others who simply don't talk about Jesus all that much or at all. And I don't know why that is. Maybe it's because we think that there's always going to be plenty of time to talk to somebody about Jesus. Or that's maybe not something that we should be doing because maybe we don't know enough, or we're just maybe afraid of offending somebody with the gospel, or maybe we're afraid that we'll maybe embarrass ourselves, or maybe we think that, I don't know, there could be countless excuses why we don't talk about Jesus like we should. But in Mark chapter 8 and verse 38, Jesus warns us, saying that if anyone is ashamed of me and my words in this adulterous and sinful generation, the Son of Man will be ashamed of him when he comes in his Father's glory with the holy angels. And so we must never be ashamed of Jesus or the gospel, because the gospel is the power of God for the salvation of everyone who believes. That's Romans chapter 1 and verse 16. Just remember that God did not give us a spirit of timidity, but a spirit of power, of love, and self-discipline. So do not be ashamed to testify about our Lord, or ashamed of me, this is the Apostle Paul writing, his prisoner, but join with me in suffering for the gospel by the power of God. And that's what Paul wrote to Timothy in 2 Timothy chapter 1 and verses 7 and 8. So, what can we do to better talk to others about Jesus? Well, you know, without going into all kinds of methods and practices and tools and stuff, we just went through a bunch of that on Wednesday nights in our Zoom Bible class. I could say that the simplest thing that anyone could ever do is to simply talk about how you were saved yourself. And if you could tell somebody how you were saved, then, hey, you told them how to be saved. So think about your salvation story. Maybe practice telling it to yourself a couple of times. And then try sharing it. And before you know it, you'll be talking more and more about Jesus to others and living a thankful life. So what is thanksgiving? Well, it's your life expressing Christ-likeness every day. It's saying, thank you, Lord, for all that you've done, what you're doing now, and what you're going to do in my life as I serve you. And this morning, again, you know, we said that thanksgiving is a daily verbal expression of gratitude. Thanksgiving is loving my neighbor. Thanksgiving is being found daily in his word. Thanksgiving is being in daily communion with God. Thanksgiving is living a life apart from sin. Thanksgiving is faithfulness to the assembly. Thanksgiving is loving and caring for each other. And thanksgiving is talking to others about Jesus. And today, if there's anyone anywhere who has yet to come to God in thanksgiving, believing that Jesus is the Christ, the Son of the living God, and upon your trust in him, turn to him in repentance, confessing him as your Lord and Savior, and committing yourself to him by being immersed in the watery grave for the forgiveness of your sins, and then rising up out of the water, continue to live your life for him until Jesus comes back again, or you go to be with him. And for those of us who have already put Christ on in baptism, then remember to live a thankful life, a thanksgiving life. Again, if anyone has the need to share or to seek prayer or to become a Christian for the very first time, I would like to encourage you to message us through Facebook or YouTube or to email me directly at minister@ovchurch.org. Let's pray. Father God, again, we do so want to thank you for being our God and for loving us. Father, we thank you, thank you, thank you for all that you've done for us, all that you're doing and all that you're going to do. And Father, we pray that as we live our lives every day, that we're always thankful to you, helping others to come to know you so that they can give thanks to you too. Father, it's in your Son's name that we pray and give thanks. Again, we want to thank you for making us a part of your Lord's Day and pray that you'll assemble with us every Sunday morning at 11 a.m. right here on Facebook and YouTube. Thank you, and God bless.